I'm Nina Jaffe. And on the phone with me again is Marilyn Burns, the guru of numbers to thousands of teachers and author of many books about math for both teachers and kids. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
Marilyn's latest project is a series of 10 books called Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons That Work for Grades 1 through 6, and it's published by Math Solutions. And I understand that the series is being published over 2 years?
Well, 5 books are out now, and over the next 2 years, the other 5 will be coming out.
Marilyn, many of the lessons in the series have already been field tested. How are you planning to get feedback from the field itself after the series has been published?
Well, that's always a good question. We field tested them and hopefully got enough field testing feedback to take out all the kinks. But that's what we use our website for. Teachers write to me and I answer those questions. And when they seem to be kind of broad enough, I just post them on the website so others can benefit from them.
Great. So there'll be a supplement online to the series itself.
Well, we have an ongoing newsletter, so it's always in that part about questions and answers, so we keep up with it.
Well, that's great and a great way to get feedback about your work.
It's terrific for me.
Since September, we've been talking to Marilyn about how to help children develop real problem-solving skills in arithmetic, as opposed to simply learning how to add and subtract. And from your writings, Marilyn, I know that you think teachers can use word problems to develop arithmetic understanding computational skills with kids. Why do you say that? What special value do word problems have?
Well, word problems give context that put math in hopefully real-world situations. Now, I think back to some of those questions as a child, how many bushels of this or pecks of that. I'm not talking about those kinds of questions so much, but contextual situations that give a purpose for learning about arithmetic. And I think that so often those situations come from what's going on in the classroom, and even more exciting for me is how to use children's books for that.
Mm. One of the kind of word problems I remember and still do have the most problem with is ones around distance. If trains are traveling or cars or airplanes and figuring out which will get there first, do you think some of the approaches that you suggest can help with thinking about distance as well? Or what are some tips?
Well, the whole notion for any kind of mathematics is for children to make sense of a situation, then think and reason about what's a possible solution, and then to evaluate the solution. The trouble with the distance problems, those things that I remember most when I took algebra, was they had no reality to my life. I never drove a train. The thing about rate distances and how fast things travel are terribly abstract. So I'm looking for things that are far more concrete.
Tell us about the role of word problems in teaching computational skills.
Well, I think that children need to see that learning a particular skill serves a purpose. And therefore, let's establish the purpose first, because that's not only motivation, it also is a way to check back that a skill has some application. I think about little children. There's a book that I know about, Roosters Off to See the World. I think most teachers know about this. There's one rooster goes off, and there's 2 cats, and 3 frogs, and 4 turtles, and 5 fish. They're all going off on this trip. So how many were going on the trip altogether? And really, the problem is to add 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, which incidentally is a problem you wouldn't typically see in a first grade book because it looks almost too difficult. But the children have the book, they have the pictures, they have the context, they like the animals, and they can work on this problem about how you combine numbers in different ways. And from a lesson like this, I can get to so many of the basic skills about how we put numbers together in different ways to arrive at an answer. Right. Because it has an answer. We have to add 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5. There's only one correct answer. And once we get that answer, how can we get there in many different ways?
So picture books like these can really help to give children the context that they may not have from their daily experience in their neighborhood or in their school area.
Right. And so the word problems don't necessarily all have to come from picture books, but they're a context that gives you a common frame of reference in the classroom, especially when children come from different neighborhoods, different lives, different backgrounds. The book can be a central point on which we can focus and then work from there. Mm.
Marilyn, don't teachers need, though, to teach computational skills first and then teach how to apply those skills in solving word problems?
You know why I think that's not the right way is it didn't work. I mean, I think about the book I've worked on hard about fractions. I first was going to title it How to Teach Fractions or Die Trying, because I wasn't sure if I'm ever going to figure this out. But I taught fractions for years, and I have seen kids, they add fractions, like 1/2 + 2/3. They add the numerators, and they add the denominators, because they're not thinking about what the fractions make sense. If you add 1/2 and 2/3, you wind up, by that wrong method, getting 2/5, which is even less than what you started with. 2/5 is less than 1/2. So teaching the skills has resulted in errors that all of us as teachers have seen year after year after year, and the strategy of continuing to teach the skills doesn't pay off and hasn't paid off. if I want to look at it a different way, then I want to see how can I give children a problem to solve that involves them with fractions? So from that situation, we can start to build understanding, not to look at these numbers in a meaningless way.
Right. We've been sort of caught in an educational putting the cart before the horse, and the cart's not going to go anywhere unless the children are already thinking about what these numbers mean.
I think so. That's true.
Great. What sort of word problems make sense for developing arithmetic understanding?
Here's an example. I think if I'm still thinking about fractions, I'm a little obsessed about fractions, but I think teachers fear teaching fractions as much as some kids fear learning fractions. So suppose I had two cookies and there were four people, how would I share it? So there's a question where it's pretty obvious. You can cut out two paper cookies and you cut them into four parts that everybody gets a half a cookie. Well, what about if I was sharing two cookies among three people or five people or six people? So from this word problem, I'm really talking about problems that involve thinking about division and that get into fractional representations. And it all comes out of that problem. And I can change the number of cookies, I can change the number of people, and we can still explore, figure, get the right answer, and discuss.
As someone who's been involved with music and music education in working with children and teachers, I'm always interested in thinking of ways that music can be used to extend different kinds of learning. Are there ways that you see music and fractions going together?
You know, I think that my early piano lessons, and I started when I was seven, were really part of the reason I was successful in math, because you learn about time signatures and quarter notes and half notes and whole notes, and you learn what's the difference between 4/4 time and 3/4 time. I think I'd love to see music be as much a basic in our curriculum as arithmetic, because I think it would so help so many children.
Mm. So maybe math could actually offer some nice opportunity for collaborations with the music specialist, if there is one in the school, with classroom teachers.
Sure. Why are there four quarter notes? What do four quarter notes fit into a measure, and what does that mean?
Right. Well, is there ever a place for word problems that have just one right answer?
Oh, sure. I mean, the rooster goes off to see the world. There are 15 animals, I think. I probably did that arithmetic wrong. But there's a certain number of animals that went. That's the number. That's the right answer. We all have to get there somehow. Oh, you got 14, I say to a child. That can't be right. Teachers are so afraid of ever saying to a child, no, that's not right.
Right.
But they can say, that's not right, let's think about it, rather than that's not right and let me put a red mark on your paper and you can take that paper home. It's really the emphasis is on let's make sense out of what is right.
Right, and see what leads us to the right answer.
That's right.
Well, Marilyn, I understand there's a word problem called dealing with horses.
Okay.
Do you think you could pose that problem to us here and let's see what we can do with it?
Well, this is a problem that was elusive. It was given to me. A man bought a horse for $10 and sold it for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought the horse back. He missed his horse terribly, so he bought it back, but he had to pay $30 for it. But then he sold it for $40. And the question is, what was the result of this financial transaction? Did the man who started with the horse make money, lose money? If so, how much? He bought it for $10, sold it for $20.
He bought it for $10, and he sold it for $20, so then he made $10.
And then he bought it for $30 and sold it for
$40. So then what happened?
Well,
because he missed his horse,
and he went back to the man. The man says, "Well, I've been investing feed. I've been taking care of your horse. I'll sell it back to you, but it'll cost you $30."
Right.
And then the man bought it back, but then the other guy really wanted it, so he relented and sold it for $40.
Right.
So is he out money? Did he earn money?
I want you to know that I would actually have to sit and work it through myself.
Absolutely. And not only that, in the classroom, I've done this so many times with children, they come up with all answers. He earned 10, he earned 20, he lost 40, he came out even.
Right.
And I say, go to a part of the room. I just establish parts of the room. And in the team, think about how you can convince somebody of your answer. And any time you want to change your mind, just walk over to the other part of the room, and you think we'll all wind up in the same corner before lunchtime.
Right. Well, certainly the context of the story especially offers both students and children a chance to really move through and actually role play some of these problems.
Actually, they do. They cut out dollar bills. They just work it through. But finally, I say, suppose a man bought a horse for $10 and sold it for $20. Everybody agrees he made $10. Suppose then he went out and bought a cow for $30 and sold it for $40. Everybody agrees he would make $10 on the cow. And so he made $10 on the horses and $10 on the cow. He made $20. And the question is, isn't the other problem just the same?
Right. So it doesn't really matter which animal it is, and so they're learning how to also adapt their mathematical learning from one word problem to another whole set of situations.
And we showed this word problem actually on a videotape for parents that Scholastic that I did with Scholastic called Math, What Are You Teaching My Child? And on it, you see adults grappling with this problem because everyone's fear, oh, my goodness, I'm going to give the answer. I'm going to be wrong. Just right. Like I said, oh, rooster's off to see the world. I bet I added wrong. I mean, we all are nervous about this. So we're in it together. Let's work together.
Well, thank you for giving us those words of encouragement. I feel encouraged myself.
Oh, good.
And I want to thank you for talking with us again here on Teacher Radio. Marilyn Burns will be back again on Teacher Radio, and we'll hear more math wisdom from her more than 30 years of thinking about the best ways to teach math. And remember, you can use the internet to learn about all the books, videos, audio tapes, and workshops for teachers that her company offers. The company name is Math Solutions, and the website address is www.mathsolutions.com. And you'll get the latest news on Marilyn's new series of books, Teaching Arithmetic, Lessons That Work for Grades 1 through 6. Once again, the Math Solutions website is www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn.
Bye-bye, Nina.
I look forward to talking with you again next week.
And so do I.